these are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Welcome, listeners. It is currently, I don't know, what was it, 71 or something like that in my car when I left the house today? I think we're forecasted to get to 71 degrees. But the weather is nice and sunny here. We got a little bit of rain, which knocked some of the smoke down out of the air, and hopefully it starts pushing those fires down a little bit as well. Thank you to BLM and Alaska Fire Service and all those guys and women that are out there, like, protecting our property and helping keep that smoke away. We don't want it to be like, what was that, 2004?
Yeah.
Where it was like the surface of the moon here or something. It was like insane.
It was horrible. I think you were in Washington at that time.
Yeah, I was teaching down at ROTC Advanced Camp that one summer.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
So I did get a little bit of reprieve from it. Hey, once again, you're here with Shooter's Corner. We're here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. If at any time you have any questions, feel free to call 458-TALK, 458-8255. If you're out of state, add that zip, that area, not the zip code. That'd be like some foreign country. Add that area code 907. And then always you can listen to KFARradio.com. Click on that big orange ball that says listen live. If you missed a show last week and weeks prior, always jump on that KFARradio.com. Scroll down, see Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden. Click on that. Scroll down past my bio. And all of our archives are posted on there so you can listen at any time as well. Or if you saw a show or listened to a show that you'd like, you can always jump back on there and listen to it again because we're worth it. I have Boise Bell with me in the
Boise
studio.
Boise Bell, my new name.
My co-host, yes.
For the radio.
Yeah, and I'm still not going to go with Chuck Wagon Chuck.
No, we still haven't came up with the name for you yet.
Yeah, and we have a guest today,
and
Will Stapp.
Maybe he might have a name for you.
No, we don't want to know what Will Stapp
is. Oof.
He's a fellow infantryman as well. So
yeah, I can think of some pretty good nicknames. I don't know if they'd be radio appropriate, though, you know.
So. Right. So what district do you represent there?
I represent House District 32, which is East Fairbanks, Fort Wainwright, and Badger. So that's like Shannon Park, Island Homes, Hamilton Acres, those neighborhoods.
Yeah, that's awesome.
East of the Stees.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, let's get started with the show. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Remember, I say this all the time, freedom is not a bargaining chip, it's not a line item on a tax ledger, and it certainly is not favor that politicians get to hand out when the timing suits them. Although I know every 4 years we see that seems to be the case. Gun owners must take note, we must not allow this betrayal to go without consequence. We do have the Second Amendment. Hey, so remember, we have our shotgun class still August 9th. The cost of that includes the ammo for 12-gauge. So bring your pump shotgun out there. I mean, if you're thinking that you're going to run a shotgun as part of your home defense plan, I think it's imperative that you know how to operate it properly, such as if you have a malfunction, how do I clear that? Also understand that you're fighting that gun with what's on the gun. I got to be honest with you, when we did the rifle class, Boise, Bell, BB.
Yes.
I told the students, I was like, you know what? We probably should teach this class in my underwear.
Charles.
Yeah, because you're literally going to be jumping out of bed when something goes bump in the night and fighting with what's on that gun. You're not going to have time to throw on plates and like all that stuff. You know,
the whole
like,
gear.
Grab
the
your
whole
battle
gear.
Rattle and throw a Kevlar on and your nods and everything. Although, Will probably.
You yes. know, you just got to tell the criminal to take a time out for 5 minutes while you get ready.
Well, that's funny you should say that because part of the NRA basic pistol is if you have a misfire, it could be a potential hang fire. So therefore, trigger finger straight, gun pointed in a safe direction, wait 30 seconds.
Mm.
And part of my joke is, how does that work for the armed citizen in a self-defense situation?
Mm.
Sir, I need you to wait 30 seconds. Yeah,
can you
okay.
just wait 1 minute, please?
Yeah.
No, at least 30 seconds. Not
30
one
seconds,
minute.
I yeah. need a cup of
my make sure there's not a hang
coffee.
Fire. Yeah. Yeah, so don't forget those. Remember, our DHAC, our Defensive Handgun for the Armed Citizen class, is posted on our website, c4traininggroup.com, and that's the 19th and 20th of July. And I don't think I have any other major announcements for maybe Golden Heart Shooters might want to call in and tell if they have a new date coming up, but nonetheless. All right, cool. Let's talk about what we have going on today. First of all, welcome, Will. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day and everything to come in.
Always
brought a spare water in here as well.
Yeah,
I want you to stay hydrated.
I will stay hydrated. No, it's exciting to be here and talk on Shooter's Corner. You know, I am a self-lover of firearms myself, you know, being a former infantry guy. So have a long experience. And really firearm safety. You know, I have a really good story on that, my first deployment to Iraq, right? I became a pretty avid hawk on firearm safety. So
where are you from initially? We'll get to that story.
I grew up in the pro-gun city of Seattle. Not really. You know, I grew up in
maybe
the
in the
50s suburbs.
And 60s.
No, not that old. No, I grew up in the city of Kirkland, which is a suburb of Seattle. And, you know, made famous now by Costco.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Yep. But baseball kid. It's also a good baseball town. So I grew up playing baseball as a kid, you know.
Nice.
Ended up graduating high school back in 2006. That was kind of the high water mark of the good old Iraq War. So I decided I wanted to be a paratrooper. When I was in high school, I saw the documentary series, you know, Band of Brothers. So I figured being a paratrooper would be cool. And I wanted to be in the infantry because I wanted to fight in the wars. So I graduated high school, and a month later, I went to infantry basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia, and then graduated from that, and then right to airborne school after that. And then
just right down the road.
Right down the road, you know. And then I got stationed. My first duty station was Fort Wainwright, Alaska. And I got here in November of 2006 in shorts and a T-shirt straight from Fort Benning. Right.
At what time of the year?
It was November. It was like 3 days
after. Oh,
that's
perfect.
3 days after Thanksgiving, it was like 34 below, you know, and it was the old airport back then. If you can remember the old airport, it looked like an abandoned grocery store before it got remodeled is what I tell people.
You know? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That hangar burned down.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
I don't know.
The old airport. Are you talking about the one over at the...
No, I mean, it was the same building. It just hadn't been remodeled, right?
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, okay. It didn't look all nice, you know.
The Fairbanks one?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the one on base burned.
No, I flew into FAI just like
everybody else does.
Yeah. And then I got in the TMP van, you know, and I remember we hit every light green on Airport Way, which has never happened to me since. And I asked the sergeant driving the van when we got to the gate of Fort Wainwright, I said, hey, is that the town? And he goes, yeah, pretty much. I'm like, oof. So I ended up, I tell folks I love Fairbanks so much, I ended up volunteering to go fight in Karma in Fallujah, Iraq with the Airborne Brigade in Anchorage. So in January 07, the USARAC folks and the folks from 4th Brigade, 25th Infantry Airborne out of at Fort Rich at the time, it's now called J-Bear, came to Fort Wainwright and asked for people to volunteer to go to Iraq as replacements. That brigade had deployed at the end of October, beginning of November. So when I got to Fairbanks, the 172nd Striker Brigade was just starting to redeploy from their extension. So I was in 423 Infantry, which became 321, right?
So switch around the numbers.
Yeah. So I ended up deploying to Iraq in March of 07. And I went straight to Karma, Iraq, which is a little town outside of Fallujah in Anbar province, in Baker Company, 3rd of the 509th Parachute Infantry Regiment. So, and that was quite an experience, I tell folks. I was, I'd been in the Army. Let me do the math there. I went to basic in July, was in Iraq by March. So 7 months from basic training, airborne school.
That's pretty quick.
To Iraq, yeah.
And the whole stimulus for you joining the military was the movie Band of Brothers.
Well, that's why I wanted to be a
paratrooper. Screwed up chain of command.
Right? Yeah.
And running up hills until you threw up spaghetti.
Well, I just thought it was cool. You know? And also, you know, I had a weird.
That's my takeaway out of that movie was like they ran up and down hills until they threw up the spaghetti that they had for lunch.
Yeah. I had weird standards, right? So I'm like, okay, well, I can't just be like a normal.
Well, there's a certain mentality that has to be an infantryman.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't just be a normal leg person. You know, I needed to go to some professional school, but I don't want to be like that high speed to be a ranger, right? So that was like my mid-tier standard where I wanted to be above the average.
I think you wanted to be a ranger at one time.
Yeah, it didn't work out. I ended up being a master gunner instead. So
I think we had our son.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, I never, I
and
did.
Then Desert Storm and a bunch of other stuff kind of got involved.
Yeah, I, you know, I'm my hat's off to those guys. I mean, I think Special Forces might have been cool, but I just, I had a lot of friends go to Ranger School, and, you know, they basically summed it up as starving for 3 months, yeah. You know, and I, at the time, I didn't think that was a, like a fun idea, you know, but my hat's off to everybody who went through the school and graduated, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, so we got to go into our first break and stuff, and I got to tell you, the stimulus for me to join the military was the movie Stripes.
Oh, my movie series is classic. Better.
I was like, I want to drive an armored RV around Eastern Germany. Like, that was so cool. But anyways, we're going to go into our first break and stuff. And when we come back, we'll carry on this conversation with Representative Will Stapp. Stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner, 97.5 FM, 660 AM here in Fairbanks, Alaska. We'll be right back.
Today's Valley's Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by 49th State Remodeling and Restoration, Alaska's trusted name in quality work. From drywall and painting to full kitchen and bath remodels, pressure washing, flood and fire restoration, even sandblasting, gutter cleaning, driveway surfacing, and log home restoration. Summer or winter, they'll even go remote. Serving Alaska statewide with over 20 years of experience. Call 907-378-5610. Remodel, restore, big or small, they handle it all. Your upgrade starts with 49th State Remodeling and Restoration.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Lorna Illingworth of North Pole, reeled in a 158-pound halibut. You didn't have a derby ticket. You didn't think you were going to catch a big one.
Just never know.
At what point did you realize, hey, this is a big fish?
It was a lot of line over and over and over again. We would get some back and it would take off again. We knew it was a big fish. It was pretty exciting.
At what point did it dawn on you, wow, this might have been a derby contender?
Oh, as soon as we got it over the edge of the boat and it was taking up most of the back deck, we were for sure. And then they were nice enough to come out and weigh it for us, even though I kind of started up front and I had no derby ticket and I was very sad about that.
I understand that you actually put a note on this 158-pound fish that would have taken the lead. So the derby clerk would have put a weight on, but you put a sign on your fish, and what did it say?
It said, I should have bought a derby ticket. Get yours today. It's great, all the derbies. I want to support that. It's a great organization. And I immediately thought, well, they're also nice enough to come down and weigh it for me. I want to support the derby for sure. Encourage people to participate in the derbies.
Go fishing, Valdez. Easy Freeze is open 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. They can book your fishing charter and blast freeze and vacuum pack your fish. Going out on a private boat? Come get your bait and ice. Easy Freeze can process your catch, too. They've got a variety of seafood for sale at their shop on Chittenah Drive. And if you have special requests for pickups or drop-offs, they'll do their best to accommodate. Easy Freeze.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing, unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue. Take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole. What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR weather. Chance of rain showers today.
Otherwise, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Daytime highs approaching 68. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 52. Daytime highs approaching 72 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck Indereed and at Shooter's Corner here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. We have Boise Bell with us, a.k.a. Cindy, my co-host. And also Representative Will Stapp from, what is that, House District 32, you said?
32.
Easy for me to remember. All right, so anywho, when we left on the break, we were talking about you essentially ending up in Iraq.
Yeah.
And then my adventures of being, like, on stripes. But anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywho, so you alluded to the fact earlier that you had a firearm story that you wanted to tell.
Yeah, I have a firearm story. It's an embarrassing story, but I think it's a useful story to tell folks. So kind of picking up where we left off. So I was 19 on my first tour to Iraq. Ended up doing two tours to Iraq in my time in the infantry, you know. And I got to this place at Camp Fallujah in March of late March 07, well, I guess beginning of April, actually, I got to Karma. I got in country in March, but, you know, it takes a while to get to kind of where you're going, you know. And
you get past all the ramps.
Yeah, yeah. You got to do this stuff at Camp Buring and Ali Asalim and all that Kuwait. And then you got to go up north, and then you got to fly around, and it's the military, you know, so it takes a while to get anywhere. But I got to Camp Fallujah, and my unit, which happened to be Baker Company through the 509th, they came to pick me up because they needed replacements because they'd suffered losses, you know, already. And I remember, like, I just strapped my rucksack and stuff to the back of the Humvee, got a call on the radio. It's like, okay, you need immediate QRF at our OPs in downtown Karma because you have a complex attack. So we hop in the Humvees and we go out there. LT grabs me and he goes, hey, new guy, do you know how to drive a Humvee? Of course, the actual answer was no, but, you know, I was brand new to the Army, so you just tell everybody yes every time they ask you, you know, so.
It's like driving a car anyway.
Yeah, yeah, it was easy, right? I mean, I just didn't, it took me a little bit to figure out how to turn it off, on, because the switch is a little weird if you're not used to it, you know. So now I'm driving the Humvee in Karma. Of course, I have no idea where I'm going, you know, and I remember Lieutenant Greikowitz there. He's got both radios, got battalion net, and he's got company net, you know, and it's like talking on both of them at the same time. We're driving out there, and they had these small arms kind of ambushes, not really a big deal on the way out there. So what had happened was the Carmi P station, which I would end up living at for the next several months, had basically taken a direct hit from a big fuel truck, suicide V-bed, right? So for those of you who don't know what that is a crazy guy who drives a fuel truck loaded with bombs and blows himself up to kind of breach a compound. And the reason they have those tactics, which, you know, later if you follow conflicts and stuff, ISIS kind of perfected this breaching technique, yeah. Right? So basically, they'd blow a big hole in your defensive perimeter, and then they try to storm your compound with, you know, a couple dozen fighters. So it ended up being a several-hour firefight. And, yeah, that was my first day. So, you know, the V-bed had put up not only a giant hole, but it had basically nearly collapsed the tower that we had our 50 cal in. So they're like sandbags all over the place. So I still had my M16 at the time because I hadn't got my M4. And I got out of the Humvee, and I didn't really know what I was supposed to be doing because, you know, I grew up in Seattle, so the only time I ever fired a rifle was in basic training, you know. And so I slung my rifle, right, which loaded at the time, right, and I had my body armor on. And it turns out, for those of you who don't know, you carry your weapon at the low ready when it's loaded, as you should, for that safety, pointed in a safe direction. And I kind of looked around and I noticed that nobody was like, had their weapons slung. They all were holding them. So I'm like, oh, I should probably do that, you know? So I, yeah, right? So,
yeah.
Like, so I.
We talk about that, like, in our classes. It's called mirror neurons.
Yeah, exactly, you know?
If you don't know what's going on, kind of replicate everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. So I go to unsling my rifle, and that good old selective lever moves from safe to fire, right?
Sure.
Because that's what happens when you have body armor on. That's why you don't do that, yeah. And I ended up tripping over one of these random sandbags in kind of the open area that had gotten blown off the tower. And I was about to drop my rifle, and I didn't want to do that because when you go to basic training, they drill into your brain. You never want to let your weapon touch the ground, you know. So I went to grab my rifle as it was falling, and I ended up shooting a round directly into the dirt. So I had an ND on my first stand rack, and oh, man, did everybody notice that within about 2 seconds, you know. So my next, I think, 3 weeks were a kind of a really interesting experience in karma because my new squad leader and my new team leader ensured that I got drilled in my brain proper weapon safety and etiquette. But I will tell you, it was like hindsight being 2020, you know, I'm glad I had the experience because, you know, fast forward a couple of years later, I'm going on my last tour to Iraq. I'm a squad leader now, and I have my own, you know, nine-man squad. Yep. And I put these kids, you know, on the firing line doing reflex fire for like 5 hours straight at the range when we would go, as long as we had ammo. And back then, ammo wasn't a big problem at the range, so unlimited. So I would make these kids do reflex fire until muscle memory, and they could do everything, you know. Because it was a big deal because, you know, for me at the time, obviously not, you know, it's not a great first impression as a new private joining a unit.
But it's a lasting one.
But it was a lasting one.
And the important thing is learning occurred.
Yeah, exactly, right? And that was the main thing, you know. So, but, it, you know, I will tell folks, you know, back then in 07, you know, Karma in Fallujah were unbelievably violent places. Like, so we were in firefights multiple times a day sometimes. Generally never went a day or two without some sort of contact. A lot of rifle grenades, a lot of 60, 80 millimeter mortar impacts, a lot of night patrols, right? So it was really intense. And I tell folks, compared to my next tour and really the rest of my first deployment, the high water mark I had at war was definitely my first 4 months when I was in Fallujah, you know.
Right.
So, but that's my firearm safety story. And it's, like I said, it's really important. And I reflect back on some of the things that you talk about all the time, Chuck, with your experience. Like for me, like just having confidence with the firearm, if the weapon system at the time would have gone a long way. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because at the time, because I didn't have a lot of trigger time before I went to Iraq. So I wasn't super comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, like carrying a loaded weapon around, right, in a red status, right, around in the chamber, you know.
There's a distinct difference between just picking it up, having a little bit of training or watching some YouTube video on it, and then when the crap hits the fan.
Oh, exactly, right. You know? And I stress all the time, you know, and I know it's in your script all the time, so like just because you have a handgun and you did one firearm safety course, right? That doesn't really prepare you for an actual incident. I tell folks whenever you can, get a good amount of trigger time in, and that thing should feel like an extension of your body, right?
Exactly.
And when it does, now you know that you're ready for a situation.
Yeah. Tell us, while we were on the break, you were talking a little bit about how you had been in a couple firefights and stuff, and you experienced what, you know, the layperson would call tunnel vision, which is what we call inattentional blindness and selective attention, essentially, right? Like, you'd like know the person shooting at you, but they weren't reacting the way you were taught or expected.
Yeah,
them
yeah.
To,
so,
like, because you were on the rifle range, it's like, oh, they're supposed to pop up directly in front of me.
Well,
oh, then they're supposed to fall directly back down. Like, share that experience with us because that's interesting because it really ties into why we do scenario based training in our defensive handgun classes.
Yeah, and you should. So, you know, my experience, you know, training time, pop-up silhouettes, scenario stuff on the EST, which is the electronic system.
Yeah.
So all these scenarios that the kind of the Army training did at the time, like the enemy was always very clearly identifiable because escalation of force and stuff of that were the big training thing. But in actuality, I mean, there's an old saying like the enemy gets a say. So I remember the first firefight I was in, rounds like directly impacting because you know they're directly impacting because you can hear the cracks and the snaps, right? So once you start hearing snaps, you're like, oh man, those are like really close bullets, right?
Yep.
But I was looking out and I'm like, I didn't see anybody, you know? It turns out that when people shoot at you, like they actually get behind cover and have concealment too, you know? So I'm like, okay, well, what do I do, you know? Because I don't see anybody, you know? So then I learned that if you shoot back at kind of probable enemy locations, the guy doesn't actually know you can't see him, right? And then he's subject to movement. So then he might get up and try to relocate or something like that. So then you do that. So like, okay, so you learn these types of things by actually being in a combat scenario. And the other thing you talk about too, like it probably took me 6 or 7 times, like in a firefight, before I actually cognitively looked back through my scope, right, and aim properly, because the adrenaline's going so hard. And, you know, the muscle memory was there, so I was, like, returning fire in the proper direction. But it's like, oh, I'm not actually aiming. I need to do that, you know, so that type of stuff. So those are all the things that you will work through when you actually practice these different shooting scenarios, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we have to go into our last hard break. Sorry there, Miss Bell. Did you have something you wanted to add?
No.
You got to speak into the microphone, that thing in front of your face. All right. Hey, so we're getting ready to head into our hard break for the local and national news and stuff. But stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner. We're here with Representative Will Stapp, and we will be right back. 97.5, 660 AM.
All the news you'll need in one place. This is KFAR Radio, 660 AM.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are divided over President Trump ordering military strikes on nuclear facilities in Iran after attempted conversations between the president and the Iranians. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt calls Operation Midnight Hammer an overwhelming success.
There is broad consensus emerging already that Iran's nuclear capabilities were indeed destroyed.
The amount of actual damage is being investigated. A leaked U.S. intelligence report says it only set Iran back by several months. New York City Mayor Eric Adams announcing his reelection campaign at City Hall today.
I'm so proud to be here to say to the people of the city of New York, I am seeking re-election to be your mayor of the city of New York.
The announcement comes after State Assemblyman Zohran Mamdani won the Democratic nomination for mayor this week. Adams running as an independent in the general election. Curtis Sliwa running as Republican. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports that two men were seriously injured in the crash of a small plane Tuesday morning at Big Lakes Airport. Both pilot and passenger were severely injured, according to Matsuburo Emergency Services Director Ken Barkley. Troopers said the adult male pilot of the Piper PA-32R-300 and an adult male passenger were taken to a Matsu hospital with serious injuries. The NTSB is investigating the crash. NTSB investigator Mark Ward at the crash site Tuesday said the plane was coming in for a landing. Witnesses said the plane was over nearby trees and made a steep turn to try and make the runway, but didn't quite make it, Ward said. The investigation will focus on the engine, he said, adding that the priority now is for the pilot to recover from his injuries. We don't know if he had a flight control malfunction or if it was an engine failure, Ward said. Right now, his health is most important. The airport was closed to air traffic for several hours and reopened around noon. The owner of the plane, Jeff Helmrich, said both men involved in the crash are certified pilots and they were conducting a transition training flight on
streaming
Tuesday.
Live online at KFAR660.com.
It's that time of year again. The sun is out, roads are clear, and gravel is everywhere. At Auto Trim Design, we have you covered with our self-healing paint protection film, keeping your paint looking showroom new and defending from rock chips and scratches, helping your car stay flawless for years. With our ceramic window tint, not only will it add a stylish look, it also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, blocks heat, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by or give us a call to get your vehicle ready for summer in Alaska.
You find your calm and steady out on the trail, wherever Alaska's wilderness calls you, and you keep answering that call every time. The next hunt, the next fishing trip, or camping with the family. Living in Alaska gives you the opportunity to explore. Finding your Alaska is a journey that will always lead you just beyond your next campsite. Frontier Outfitters is here, so you can be there. Alaskan proven equipment, the brands you trust. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing, unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue. Take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Bowl.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck. Boise Bell.
Boise Bell.
And Representative Willstaff. Holy crap, she woke up for that one.
He told me I'm not talkative today. I'm sleepy.
Little sleepy head. All right. So one of the reasons I asked you to come on the show is maybe to talk about some of the pro or anti-gun legislation that's kind of going on down neck of the woods. One of the things that kind of piqued my curiosity and interest more than anything was this Alaska Senate Bill 136, which talked about merchant category codes.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability of credit card companies to track purchases.
Yes. So just so everyone knows, SB 136, in my opinion, would be a good bill to pass because it basically disallows merchant category codes to specifically identify these types of purchases.
Right.
And the reason you don't want that to happen at a commercial level is it basically allows a company and therefore the government to create a list, right, of who has these firearms and who's purchasing the ammo without actually creating a list, right? So for folks who don't know, if you buy a certain thing and let's just say I use the letter code D5 or something like that, now I know who bought D5 when they did, you know, and that's just a code for, let's say, an AR-15 or something like that.
Right.
You know.
So interesting. I did a little bit more research on this because it's kind of been a topic we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks. I don't know if you've listened to our show or anything, but I would appreciate it if you did.
Oh, of course.
Anywho, this is the financial surveillance in the United States, how federal law enforcement commandeered financial institutions to spy on Americans. This is an interim staff report that was written on the committee on the judiciary and the select subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government by the U.S. House of Representatives, and it is dated March 6, 2024. It has a whole bunch of emails in here back and forth between banks and the FBI, interestingly enough. Have you seen this?
I have not seen that, but I'm
all
not
right,
shocked.
So let's just take a look at the executive summary here because there's a couple things. So the Committee on the Judiciary and a select subcommittee on the weaponization of federal government are charged by the House of Representatives with upholding fundamental American civil liberties. As a part of the mission, this committee and select subcommittee have uncovered startling evidence that the federal government was engaged in the broad financial surveillance, prying into the private transactions of American consumers. This financial surveillance was not predicated on any specific evidence of a particular criminal activity or conduct, and even worse, it keyed on terms and specific transactions that concerned core political and religious expression protected by the Constitution. Interestingly enough, let's see, February 7th, 2023, the committee and retired FBI supervisory intelligence analyst George Hill transcribed his interview following events at U.S. Capitol on January 6th, 2021. We all know what happened there, right? Bank of America voluntarily and without legal process provided the FBI with a list of names of all individuals who used a Bank of America credit or debit card in the Washington, D.C. region between the dates of January 5th and January 7th, 2021. Mr. Hill also testified that this Bank of America data dump of customer information also included a list of individuals who had ever used a Bank of America credit or debit card to purchase a firearm, regardless of when or where it was purchased. This testimony was later confirmed by another former senior FBI official. In fact, when the Bank of America information was brought to the attention of Stephen Jensen, the then select chief of the FBI's Domestic Terrorism Operations Section, he acted to pull the Bank of America information from the FBI systems because leads lacked allegations of federal criminal conduct and out of concern from where it originated. I thought that was interesting. They also contacted and had meetings with Barclays, U.S. Bank, Charles Schwab, HSBC, Bank of America, PayPal, KeyBank, Standard Chartered, Western Union, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Standifer, J.P. Morgan, Chase, and some bank called MUFG. I don't know what that is. Mug?
I don't know. I'd have to.
Mug Fug? All right. But these meetings were geared towards discussing options for financial institutions to share customer information voluntarily with federal law enforcement outside of the normal legal process. So they were not required to get a subpoena or a warrant or anything. Mm-hmm. Here's what's also interesting. The Domestic Security Alliance Council is a public-private partnership led by the FBI's Office of Private Sector and the Department of Homeland Security, Office of Intelligence Analysis. The DSAC promotes the exchange of security and intelligence information between the federal government and its 650 member companies, collectively comprising two-thirds of the U.S. gross domestic product and 35 million employees. Following January 6, the FBI shared an intelligence product titled Domestic Violence Extremists Likely Emboldened in Aftermath of Capitol Breach, prepared by the FBI and the National Terrorism Center, with the financial institutions to alert them to individuals that may fit the profile of criminal and domestic violent extremists, what they call DVEs.
So we need to really pay attention to what we're our banks are.
FinCEN, which is the Financial Crimes Enforcement, literally, let's see, they use keywords to comb through transactions such as small arms purchases or recreational stores such as Cabela's, Bass Pro Shop, Dick's Sporting Goods. Americans do nothing more than shopping or exercising their Second Amendment rights or being tracked by financial institutions and federal law enforcement.
Yeah. That's a little scary.
I think so, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I, like you, took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Like, I don't consider myself, just because I want to buy a gun or buy ammo, that I'm an extremist.
Yeah, no. So those are all kind of methods of control, right? I always tell folks, I always find it comical that, you know, nowadays you have the socialists, they call themselves democratic socialists, you know, right. Generally they got to do that because they got to win the election so they can take everybody's guns away and then become real socialists, right? So the reason I articulate it that way is, you know, governments, when governments lean toward authoritarianism, and I don't think the U.S. is kind of that far, you know, authoritarian, for example. Right. But you got to be mindful of government overreach, because the accountability in government is always going to stem from an armed populace, right? And that was kind of what the founders understood when they put the Second Amendment in the Constitution. And they knew, you know, for example, if the British Empire at the time had disallowed firearm ownership in the colonies, we would have never been able to perpetuate revolution against, you know, our overlords.
That's right? Very true.
So, like, it's not the fact that you should do those things. It's the threat of the fact that you have an armed populace that holds an accountability in your government, your elected officials, right? Because they know that people, you know, are legitimately afraid of a complete totalitarian centralization of power. All right. So you shouldn't have an incidence in which, a free democratic government, you know, a representative republic like our country allows the, you know, any type of executive or legislative branch to completely monopolize power, you know. Because then you lose accountability among your elected officials. So I'm very wary of any type of agency, especially like an unelected body like, say, FBI or something like that, having access to that level, or really keeping files on people just for the purchase of firearms. You know? I mean, we live in the interior and in Fairbanks, and gun ownership is just kind of a natural case.
It's kind of a way of life.
Yeah, it's a way of life. And like I said, you should respect firearms. And honestly, like, if people, you know, you would have less incidences, in my opinion, of accidents in the event that people were very serious about their gun ownership, you know. But we have bills here in the state legislature. We talked about Senator Mike Cronk's bill. That's a good bill that basically looks to disallow those types of things happening at the state level. But, you know, there are other bills from Andy Josephson and my colleague from West Fairbanks here, Representative Ashley Carrick, that are absolutely devastating for, you know, firearm owners and gun rights. So Ashley Carrick has a bill, for example, that basically would make it a crime. And I'll read the sentence so everybody understands the breadth of this. And if you live out in West Fairbanks, you should probably talk to her about it, because it is a big deal.
This is what they call, like, is this the safe storage?
Well, this is way beyond state safe storage, right? Okay. So part of this bill says misconduct involving weapons in the sixth degree.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you're basically guilty of this offense if you have a weapon, if you have a firearm on your premises that is not carried or otherwise under the control of the owner or authorized person. Okay. Right. So what does that mean? That means, and especially this is true if someone's under the age of 18, that means like if you don't have your firearm locked in a safe storage inside of your house, you're now guilty of a crime. Okay.
Right.
By the way, let's say you live by yourself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're still guilty of a crime if that bill passes, right?
Oh, wow.
It's kind of insane.
So I have to, somebody breaks in my home, I have to go up and say, can you hold on a minute? I got to, you know, try to think of the lock to unlock the safe to get the gun out.
Well, I think there's an exclusion if somebody breaks in your house, as long as you exercise what we would call due diligence to secure it properly. But like if you had it in a safe and they broke into the safe.
Yeah, it's a crime.
I'd say there's a degree of
yeah.
I think this kind of mirrors what some of the things that are going on, like in Michigan, mm-hmm. where they're going after the parents.
Yeah, exactly, right. And also, you know, keep in mind it's a disincentive to like have kids. I mean, I have three kids. You know, my oldest daughter is 7, so she's not really at the age where you know she's mm-hmm. able to start kind of learning about firearm safety right. outside just the you know the big picture stuff. But like you know, when my daughter's 16 or 17 years old, folks, I mean, she's gonna know how to carry an AR-15 respectfully and responsibly. You know,
exactly.
So
we're getting ready to go into our next break. Let's get that done before we continue on with this interesting conversation. Hey, stay tuned here. We're Boise Bell, Representative Will Stapp. You got Chuck Indereaton here, Shooter's Corner, 97.5, 660 AM. We'll be right back after this last break.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing. Unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue, take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim.
There's fishing, and then there's dip netting. Frontier Outfitters knows you need to maximize your catch and that you're working against the clock. So they make it real easy for you to get what you need fast. Whether you're on a boat or shore, from permits to dip nets, they carry fighting handles, D-handles, and more. So your tired, numb hands can hold on when that big king tries to yank your gear into the river. Plus those poles and the extensions for those deep holes and replacement nets as well. Your next outdoor adventure starts at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Chance of rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Highs level off around 68. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 52. Partly cloudy tomorrow, 72. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck Indereed on Shooter's Corner here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. We got Boise Bell, my co-host, as always, sitting beautifully. And we got Representative Will Stapp from House District 32 with us. And if you missed part of the show and you just dialed in or tuned in, always jump on KFARradio.com and you can scroll down and listen to our archives on the Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereed and link. All right.
Yeah.
We just finished up talking about that misconduct involving weapons, sixth mm-hmm. degree. What was yep. the name of that representative again?
That's a representative, Ashley Carrick, here in West Fairbanks. Okay. And the other bill, and this is a, you know, your good old red flag law bill. I'm sure you've talked about this. Is HB 89, which is from Representative Josephson, who represents Anchorage, and Senator Great Jackson in the Senate, also downtown Anchorage senator, right? And this is basically a red flag law bill. So the argument that these folks make is basically, if somebody deems you a threat or, you know, based off
to others or yourself,
you should be entitled to just not be allowed to have firearms and ammunition, right? That's kind of it in a summary. And why is that a problem, right? Well, it's violation of many different aspects of the Constitution, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Second Amendment. And keep in mind, you're not even convicted of a crime. You're just deemed by somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an ex parte order, right? There's really
initially would be an ex parte, which means one party has to make the allegation, swear to it that it's true, and then a judge or magistrate reviews it and then issues an order.
Yeah,
for DPS or whomever.
Yeah, and that's a relatively arbitrary kind of process, right? And think of I would tell folks that. The problem with laws like that is, one, they're easily subject to weaponization of people, right? So if you want, you could go down that road of somebody having to surrender their firearms without due process and really not being convicted of a crime. And that's really problematic from a legal standpoint and really just a governance standpoint. So if you allow the government to kind of go down that road where they can take your rights away when you haven't committed a crime, you're basically going to empower a centralized state to be able to do that in other areas of your life, right? So there really is a slippery slope kind of phenomenon that happens when, you know, elected officials look to try to pass laws like this. And by the way, a lot of these people I know pretty well because I worked with them down at Juneau for 3 years now. And, you know, they mean well, but at the end of the day, they just think that they know better than you do how to protect yourself. And they're more than willing to pass laws to dictate to you how you should live and what you should do and what you should be allowed to do and whatnot, you know. And understand that, that's kind of the mentality that this type of ideology originates from.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be mindful of it, because when I say that they legitimately believe that they should be able to dictate your life and your and the safety and the defense of your own family to you, you know, they believe that. And they'll probably tell you that. Maybe they'll articulate it in a more pleasant way than I did, but
definitely in a more political way.
Yeah, yeah. But just understand that they fundamentally believe that they should regulate your ability to defend your family, you know.
So I know in some states, like Michigan, I think they've already passed something like this or similar to it as far as a red flag. And they had a very low, I would say, level or of degree of proof that was needed for that order to be done. Other states have now coming pretty similar to it, like Florida, which had a much higher burden of proof before they actually implemented the order as well. So, I mean, are we looking at a pretty low level of proof here? I mean, is this going to be what is the prevention? I cut you off, but what's the prevention to prevent somebody from just going in and filing this thing because they're going through a divorce and they want to create hate and discontent?
Bingo.
And I've seen this before with domestic violence protective orders where somebody intentionally lies on the ex parte. And then they're not prosecuted for it.
Well, and let's not even say a lie. Let's just say they embellish an incident, right? So let's just say a domestic incident is good. Let's just say, like, you got in a fight with your spouse and, you know, maybe their gun's in their gun safe still, but you, now you're just uncomfortable with them having a firearm around you because you got in an argument with your soon-to-be ex-spouse, right? The issue with what the burden of proof is like typically when it comes to these legal kind of arguments, we allow the court system to kind of determine that based on themselves. Rarely do we put those technicalities.
You legislate, you let them judiciate.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a bit of a problem, right? Because now, you know, they can develop their own standard and maybe it would be a very low standard. So if you're going to legislate something like this, we would have to kind of put it in law what the standard would be. And that's problematic too because, you know, there's just a lot of arbitrary things that happen, right?
Right.
But I don't think the bill will pass, by the way. I just want everyone to be mindful about it, you know.
I hadn't seen any more movement on the Alaska legislature thing since February of 2025.
Yeah, yeah. Since we ended up getting wrapped around other issues like budget and stuff like that. But they are very serious about these gun control bills, you know, and they would like to go further, you know, but they're wise enough to know that they got to get the camel's nose under the tent first, you know.
So. Yeah. All right, we've got a caller. Hey, caller, you're here with Chuck and Boise Bell and Representative Will Stapp.
Just a shout-out to Representative Stapp. He is just amazing. He's a real family man. He supports community, supports all of our armed service people. And he doesn't have all these ads showing him with a shotgun or showing him with a gun and then be against Second Amendment rights. So he's really a treasure, and I value him greatly in the community.
Thanks. I paid him to say that. Just kidding.
is that Bernard calling in?
No.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. He appreciates that.
Yeah. No.
He's great. He's always got his daughters along with him. He's always
introducing
them to all kinds of people, and he's just fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
All right. Have a good day.
See ya.
You too, sir. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you think this is going to die on the vine some way? Some
yeah, fashion? I mean, if it gets to the House and the Senate, I mean, the governor will veto it, right? Because the governor's not going to kind of put up with these types of bills. But, I mean, this has been a very long, strategy for them to kind of pass these types of bills. I will say the one saving grace that we have in the legislature, even though the Democrats are in control of the House and the Senate, is the rural Democrats in the state are still very pro firearms because you kind of have to be out there. So typically when you're
because
talking about
all their
about,
constituents.
Yeah, so
them.
When you're talking about folks up in Barrow or Utqiagvik or Nome or Dillingham, you know, their mentality on firearms is very similar to our mentality. So typically they're not going to pass these types of legislation. These typically come from urban Alaska Democrat legislators from Anchorage or in our case West Fairbanks and stuff like that. So
who were imported from Seattle.
Yeah. You know, I'm a refugee from Seattle. What I tell people. You know, I tell folks, if you want to be a rebel and you grow up in Seattle, the most rebellious things you can do are vote Republican and join the army. So
and buy a truck.
Yeah, and buy a truck. You know, that'll get everybody going down there. You know.
Yeah. So anything else on the horizon then?
No. Just those are kind of the good old SWOT analysis there for what's happening, what's going on. So. Always a pleasure to have some time on the radio with the folks. So,
no, that's awesome. And I know they appreciate hearing from their representatives as well in the realm that it's not like canned is, you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I always try to do things the best I can unscripted, right? I think it keeps me a better communicator and also keeps the mind a bit sharper. So I don't like all the phony stuff, so.
Yeah, we get surrounded by a lot of that, especially with the mass media and everything. So we appreciate that.
Yeah.
What do you think of, I'm going to ask you.
Anyways. Oh, yeah?
What do you think of old Lisa saying that she'll caucus with the Democrats?
Well, I think, I don't know if Lisa will actually do that. Senator Murkowski will actually do that. I think my inside baseball, I think Senator Murkowski wants to be appropriations chair in the Senate. That's the most powerful thing you can be in the Senate. You control the money, basically. Wow. I think if Susan Collins of Maine loses re-election and Lisa Murkowski is the appropriations chair in the Senate, if Susan Collins of Maine loses re-election, if the Democrats do really well where the Senate's 50-50, the Democrats would absolutely make her appropriations chair in the event that she put them in power. So if you have a goal, and that's to be the most powerful person in the Senate, then, you know, she's got a lot of opportunity. Just all requires Republican Susan Collins from Maine to lose re-election, basically.
Do you think that would funnel more money towards Alaska?
Yeah, I think you know, Senator Murkowski's been there a long time, folks. I'm not entirely sure that she wants to be there forever in the way that Don Young wanted to be there forever, right? She's been there for 20 years now. I think that sometimes in life people are... That you set goals, right? And I think her goal, and this is just me speculating, would be to kind of reach that pinnacle, which is to be the person in charge of all the appropriations made at Senate level. So you're an incredibly powerful person. So Susan Collins from Maine, Senator from Maine, is the most powerful person in the Senate basically right now. And then Lisa Murkowski is right there below her because she's deputy appropriations chair.
So. Ah, well, that's good information to know.
Yeah.
So she'd eventually get up there, control the purse strings?
Yes, sir. So to me, I don't think she'd ever do it. I just think that I think she's probably in the twilight of her career. So I read that as someone who was posturing to kind of get that thing, you know.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, Representative Will Stapp, we greatly appreciate you coming on the show. Oh, and I forgot your mug.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, every guest that comes on our show gets a free C4 training group thermal mug. Yeah.
Well, I wanted that thing. What the heck?
I know.
He's
well, your choice is red, blue, white, or, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I want to take the C4
All right,
mug.
Welcome.
Yeah.
So. Appreciate everybody staying tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner, KFAR Radio 97.5, 660 AM. Next week, we'll have a hodgepodge of topics, I'm sure. I don't have a guest lined up, but we'll come up with something. All right.
Preston.
Peace out. Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for listening to Shooter's
Stay tuned.
Corner.
Fox News is on the way on KFAR Fairbanks, the heartbeat of Alaska.